and to bring you your fix of everything related to the Montreal Canadiens. Two men who could seriously use an intervention. Your source of Habs talk right from the rock.
Right from the rock.
Hello, Canada, hockey fans, United States, and Newfoundland.
Hockey Junkie. NGK.
Good morning, grasshoppers. Looks like I'm going to be running this podcast solo during this episode. The stars just didn't align for me and Gary to do this one together. But if things work out the way we want them to, we might just squeeze in another episode early next week. So while he's not here, you know what that does? It gives me the opportunity to just kick him while he's down. Kick some dirt on him. Because right at the end of the last podcast, Gary made a bit. He said that Rym Pitlick would not get a point during the next three games, and not only that, he bit me that for every point Pitlick gets, he'd buy me a tall can of beer. Well, guess what? Rym Pitlick is the man. He's the man. He would go on to put up 2 points against the Panthers and put up 2 beautiful points against the Toronto Maple Leafs as well. So what does this do? Well, this bit alone has earned me about what, 4 tall beautiful cans of delicious, satisfying beer. So, a special shout out to Rym Pitlick to start things off for making my dreams come true. And of course, a good steel-toed boot kick to the nuts of Gary to start things off. Now, I've got some pretty big topics that I want to discuss during this one. One of which, of course, being Cole Caulfield and his injury. But first, we're going to go back and take a look at what happened to Montreal since the last podcast. They played 3 games, losing 2, one of them to Florida and 1 to Boston. But hey, they won the biggest game of them all against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and my God, I don't know what it is about the Leafs, but I've never seen a team choke like this and just play Jekyll and Hyde, man. They got this ability to just look like the top team in the NHL for a good 20 minutes during the game, and then all of a sudden they look like the Mighty Ducks before Coach Bombay got at them. My man Rym Pitlick scored the OT winner in that one. It was great, but out of 3 of these games, I gotta say, the most entertaining one of these to me was the game against the Florida Panthers. Even though the Habs, they lost this game horribly on the scoreboard, it was still entertaining. The way that that second period ended with Jack Eye getting dumped into the boards from behind, you just knew what was coming during the third period. And you know what? Sometimes a team like Montreal, that's exactly the kind of game that they need to wake everybody up and start playing as a team. Just drag everybody into the fight together. We saw some ugly hits during that one. We saw 3 fights with Madison, Pezzetta, and Jack Eye getting involved. And then there was the little things, you know, that just added excitement. Like watching Nick Suzuki body Gudas down to the ice. Then we saw Kirby Doc late in the third period body Gudas down to the ice like a sack of spuds. And that was great, man. Brings a tear to my eye. It honestly does. It was pure entertainment. That's what we need right now, because throughout the remainder of this season, trust me, we're not going to be entertained a whole lot when it comes to big wins. It's just not going to happen. But watching the kids' progress and watching guys like Arbor Jack Eye looking like a friggin' hand grenade out there, it just makes things a lot more exciting. It makes you want to keep watching the games regardless of the outcome. And you know what? It almost seems like the Habs and the Panthers, they've got a little rivalry thing going on right now. Montreal owns their first round pick this season. Every time they play one another, it seems like it's an all-out war. And personally, man, I just love it. They play Florida 2 more times this season. I think 1 is in March and the next game's in April. So make sure you pencil these in, because these are games that you just don't want to miss. And it's kind of funny talking about rivalries, you know, because I think they actually got a bigger rivalry right here in 2023 with the Florida Panthers than they do with both the Leafs and the Bruins. Jeez, doesn't that feel weird just saying that? But it's true. I mean, out of 3 of these games, Florida was the roughest one, and the games against the Leafs and the Bruins were pretty tame, which is pretty surprising, especially when you think about the Bruins. I mean, I was expecting something during that one, but there wasn't a whole lot at all. Now, it was a tight game. Even though the Bruins would squeeze out a 3-2 victory, it was close the entire game. You can give a lot of props to Samuel Montembeau for that, because I think that game could have been way worse, and I mean way worse, had Montembeau not played as well as he did. And you know, over the last couple of weeks, man, Montembeau has looked like the bee's knees. He's been on fire between the pipes. If I had to pick one goalie right now between Samuel Montembeault and Jake Allen for the number one netminder position in Montreal, right now I'm picking Samuel Montembeault. It's a no-brainer, and I think it's pretty cool. And Jake Allen actually spoke to the media yesterday, and I gotta say, man, this guy is just such a team player. He had so many good things to say about Montembeault. Allen is not a veteran pissy goaltender at all. The guy seemed genuinely happy that Montembeault was having some good success while he was gone. Allen's not even injured anymore, and he doesn't really seem to care if Montembeault starts at all. Now, Caden Primo was actually caught up over the last couple of weeks while Allen was out, but unfortunately for him, Montembeault just looked so good over the last couple of weeks that Caden Primo didn't even get a sniff, man. The guy was pretty much just caught up to keep Jake Allen's seat warm. Now, speaking of getting caught up from Lavelle, with the Canadians getting banged up lately, we also seen Jesse Ylönen get caught up from Lavelle. He's been looking pretty good. And then most recently, we seen Raphael Harvey-Pinard and Alex Balzio get their crack at the Habs lineup. And overall, I gotta say, these guys have been looking pretty good. They're playing fourth line minutes. Harvey-Pinard scored a big goal against the Leafs. That's one he's gonna remember for the rest of his life. And Balzio had some nice opportunities himself, but hasn't found the back of the net yet. But it's coming. But one guy that has been really standing out to me on the Habs fourth line over the past, what, 10, 15 games? Is none other than McCain Curly Fry Head Mike Opposetta. And I'm telling you, this guy, he deserves a lot of credit. I don't know what was wrong with him during the first 30 games of the season, but he just wasn't really effective at all. He wasn't mixing things up or getting in anyone's face. He just didn't bring that good old Mike Opposetta energy that, you know, he usually brings. To me, you know, honestly, he kind of looked like a guy earlier on this season that was told, you know, maybe he's got to change his game up somehow. I don't know if the coaching staff wanted him to be something that he wasn't, but he just didn't look like the Mike Opposetta from last season. It's almost like the guy's personal light switch was off. But let me tell you, the light switch has been back on lately. You watch him during the last 10 games, he's been hitting more. He's been getting chippy out there again, even generating some scoring chances for him and his line mates. And that fight that he got involved in during the game against the Florida Panthers, how can we not talk about that? Him and Ryan Lomberg, man, what a cat fight. I haven't seen that much hair flowing around since the last Guns N' Roses concert that I watched. It was awesome. Now, moving on to some more topics that I wanted to chit-chat about during the game against the Bruins. The man, the myth, the legend, who is not very loved around the NHL, I'm talking about Gary Bettman, he was actually at the game. He was sitting back with Jeff Molson, probably enjoying some of Montreal's fabulous poutine. And he would actually speak with the media prior to the game happening. One of the biggest questions that he was asked about was Logan Mailloux and whether or not he would be eligible to play in the NHL one day. Now listen, he was put on the spot and I listened carefully to his answer probably about 47 times. And what I can tell you is that he didn't confirm nor deny it. But I will say this, he didn't really sound like he was overly against. You know what I mean? I personally don't think there's going to be any issues, especially when the Canadians, they lay out all their cards on the table and talk about what Logan Mailloux has done over the last couple of years since becoming a Hab. All the steps in the right direction that he's taken with the help of the Canadiens organization. I just don't think there's going to be any issues. The Habs decor is looking great right now. The Habs prospect pool on the back end it's unbelievable. Now, Gary actually texted me just yesterday talking about the play of William Trudeau lately. For those of you that don't know, Trudeau is a defenseman that was selected in the fourth round by the Habs back in 2021. To start this season, he was having trouble getting some minutes with Lavelle just due to the stacked blue line that they had. But due to some good old-fashioned season-ending injuries, guess what? Trudeau has now worked his way into some big minutes in Lavelle, and he's been dynamite down there, making the most of his opportunity. I actually watched a game last night between Lavelle and Belleville, and I thought he looked pretty good. Norlander looked pretty good as well, and there's just so many defensemen in the system right now that it's hard to keep track of all of them. I know a lot of them aren't going to make it, but even if just 15% of them do, even 10%, then the Habs are going to be in good shape on the blue line for many, many years. Think about it. Caden Gooley, Arbor Jacki, Johnny Honda Civic, and Jordan Harris are already playing in the NHL. These guys are all young. And when you look at the big picture of all the defensemen that are still on the system, trying to kick and claw their way to the top, I just don't see a scenario where defense is going to be an issue in the future. Now moving on, getting to the biggest story of this week that's been sitting Habland on fire is Cole Caulfield. Season-ending shoulder surgery, jeez. It's something that just came out of nowhere and kicked millions of people in the nuts all at once, especially Gary. I gotta pick on him again. Because you see, before this season had even started, Gary already bit me a dozen beer that Caulfield was gonna score 40 goals this year. I said he wouldn't, and you know what, Gary? The poor guy, he thought he actually had this one. He's been kind of beaking me behind the scenes about Caulfield's production. But let me tell you something, nobody has got shittier luck than Gary, I'll tell you that. This guy's afraid to get in his bathtub because an alligator might get him. So now he owes me another case of beer over this one, but this Cole Caulfield injury is something that I don't think anybody is happy about right now. He was on pace to score between like 45 and 50 goals this season. He also brings that element of happiness to the locker room and excitement to every single game. And I said it before, him and Suzuki are like two cheeks of an ass. They're always together and off the ice. And now, well, there's only one ass cheek left. Do you know somebody that was born with one ass cheek? No, you don't. Maybe you do. I don't know. But anyway, shit's getting messy. It's not good at all because the Canadians right now, well, they're in injury hell. It's almost like somebody just chucked a grenade into that locker room and ran away. But the Caulfield one, man, that one stings the most. And I just hope when this guy has a surgery that everything goes good, and when he returns, he can pick up right where he left off this season. Now, staying on the topic of Caulfield, there's also been a lot of chatter lately about his contract that he's about to sign. There's been some reports online that maybe it's actually already been signed, and he just haven't released it to the media yet, so keep an eye on this one. We should be getting this information any day if it is true. And I'm going to be interested to see if this injury actually plays any kind of a role in how much pay this guy's going to be making per year. Now tonight, the Canadians are going to be set to play against the Detroit Red Wings. Should be just a beauty of a game. But let's face it, I'm not nearly as excited about this one as I am about the Knicks 2. I'm talking back-to-back games against the Ottawa Senators. And man, I was just speaking about rivalries earlier, and I think both of these teams have quite the hatred towards each other. Especially after what went down during the preseason, you know, when Jacki just beat the piss out of that entire team. I'm expecting a war, and honestly, I had these two back-to-back games circled on my calendar since the last time they played. It should be, and is gonna be, a beauty. And before I go, it's time for the beer bit of the week. Now, Gary's not here. He can't even defend himself right now. And you know what? I'm kind of in a given mood today, okay? I feel bad for poor Gary. The poor guy's on the brink of bankruptcy after all these bits. So here's what I'm gonna do. Kirby Doc has been as hot as the devil's ass crack lately, so I'm gonna bit Gary that within the next 3 games, Kirby Doc does not get a point. Not even one. And what I'm going to do is put the same odds as what he said with Rim Pitlick. For every point that Kirby Doc scores, I'll give Gary one tall can of beer. So there you have it. It's time to find out whether or not Gary is truly cursed. That does it for this episode of The Fix. I hope you all enjoy. Don't forget to hit the 5-star review button with a sledgehammer on your way out of here. And hey, I'll see you next time.